Please be seated. Good morning. What does it mean to have hardness of heart? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean? I'm not talking about cholesterol, by the way. But what does it mean to be in a place where your heart is hardened? To be where you cannot love, where you cannot care for another, or you are so caught up in rules or expectations or other things that you cannot see past someone else's frailty to who God has created them. Maybe you missed that in the gospel, but that is really the cornerstone of Jesus' teaching for us today when he is set up once again in a trap. So, you know, if you've been able to follow the readings the last several weeks, every week we've had a reading about something that the Sadducees and Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus in. And so today the trap is, can a man divorce a woman? And Jesus starts with, because of your hardness of heart, that's where he starts. He sees right to the moment of what they're trying to get him, how they're trying to trap him. Now, almost every clergy person who is preaching in the United States today that's Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian is going to start with an apology for the scripture, because we know that in our congregation, there are lots of people who have been divorced. And this is one of the hardest texts, because when you hear it, it's hard to not feel condemned, right? But we're really missing the heart of what the gospel is about, because the word divorce and what Jesus is talking about and our concept of it is very different. But we'll get into that in a few moments. Now, I say all that coming out of a household when I was a child in which my mom had a 12-year return policy on all husbands. So I know intimately the realities of divorce. I'm not making fun of my mom. We tease her about this all the time. And there's all kinds of reasons, and that's really not an appropriate topic for the day, but those things are hard truths to talk about. But let's start with where our church teaches about hardness of heart and what we're really supposed to be about. We have baptisms a lot at St. Thomas, and I'm really grateful for that. And we do it on a regular basis because I want this teaching to be heard. Some churches only do baptism on certain Sundays. But there's five questions at the end of our baptismal covenant that are about how we live out of our heart in the world. We can think of them as ethics. We can think of them as morals. We can think of them as a guide to our way of living. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? It's easy for us in the liturgy to dismiss those words as just being part of what we're doing when we have baptism, but they're meant to be guides for how we live our life and how we make decisions. How many of you take time to think about what you do? Come on. Some of you? We got work. How many of you think when you write a check for something you purchase about those questions? Maybe not. Have you ever sat down and looked at your taxes when you fill them out in April? Look back and think, how do my spending habits and the things I chose to do reflect my baptismal covenant? How does the relationship I have, if you're married, with your spouse, or with your children, or with your friends, or your coworkers, how do your relationships reflect this baptismal covenant? You see, Jesus is trying to meddle in our lives and get to the heart of the matter in this teaching that we have for today. The hardness of heart that Jesus is talking about is that in that culture at that time, if a man wanted to divorce his wife, all he had to do was write it down. Now, this isn't then going to court and having things equitably divided. There's no lawyers. It's simply just a man's decision. Now remember how women were treated at the time and what was going on with them. They couldn't own property. They were technically the property of the husband. A widow was all but cast out from society. And her children, being now divorced, would be considered illegitimate and without place. And so when Jesus is saying, because of your hardness of heart, he's saying this to protect people that would have been cast out completely. Would it have been just, right? This is a good point. Pay attention. Would it have been just? Would it have respected the dignity of every human being? Would it show the communion of the fellowship that we all reside in? Jesus is thinking in this way, and he's teaching those around him who have that very hardness of heart. What if we led in our relationships from this place? What if we really thought about these things and took them right to the center? We have so much going on in the culture around us and on the news and on the media and with our politics that grates in so many ways on these very questions. How do we respond in the midst of that? How do we react? How do we treat another? It's hard to find truth sometimes, but in the midst of that, there are central things that I think we ought to be thinking about. How do we teach a young person morals? How do we teach a 3-year-old to make good decisions? How do we teach a 90-year-old to make good decisions? I think if we start to hold these very truths right at the center, this idea of our baptismal covenant, we can get insight into what Jesus is saying. Jesus does not want our hearts to be hardened. This summer, our youth group went on a mission trip to Houston. So we have some of our youth here that would have been on that trip. And while they were there, they got to meet an amazing group of kids. That group of kids were soccer players that a friend of ours, Charles, found. They're immigrant kids from a variety of cultures. They came and were brought to the United States, and they really weren't necessarily soccer players, but Charles was trying to do something. Now, Charles is the head of the coalition in Houston that deals with homeless youth. He runs an organization called Revision. I've known him for about 20 years, 25 years. He has been at the center of poverty in one of our largest metro areas his entire career. And he identified these 5 or 6 kids, and he decided to start a club soccer team for them. And he got them playing soccer. And they're such amazing soccer players that they're now all on scholarship at a university in Missouri to play. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is our youth were there, and they got to meet the kids. And they went and they watched the kids play soccer, and then they went out and played soccer with them and hung out. And then they really liked these guys. They friended them on social media, and then they ended up wanting the kids to go to the beach with them. So they all went to the beach later that day, which was part of the plan, or the next day, and they got to know them. Right? No big deal, right? Isn't that what all of us would do? Would invite our people? Well, here's what Charles said. Charles was here Thursday, and he was telling us about that. He says, I don't know what you guys are doing at your church and what you're doing to teach these kids, but he says, that has never happened in 5 or 6 years of being with these kids. He says, we have people come watch what we're doing, and they never engage the children. They never talk to the youth. We have people come and watch, and they never play soccer with the kids. He says, these kids don't have any friends, white, black, or brown. They're outside of the culture, and they're never treated with respect. He He said, and the kids from your church came in, and they were just right out there on the field with them. And then suddenly they were their friends, and they were friending all of them on, I don't know what the kids use these days. I'm sorry. I would say Facebook, and then everybody in here would be like, kids aren't on Facebook. But they connected with each other, and they're still connected. And he wanted to know what we've been doing, and we sort of thought about it, and we have these amazing young people in our church who have been part of this church for many years. And I have to think that they've heard some of what we talk about. Not only that, but they live it, and their parents have taught them, and they understand. This is just one small example of respecting the dignity of every human being, of seeing Christ in the other, of loving your neighbor as yourself, of being in fellowship. And it's a story that we need to tell. So what are you going to do in your life? How are you going to teach? If you have young men or young women growing up in your household, how will you talk to them about relating to each other and how they treat one another? About good dating and respecting each other? How will you challenge the other adults around you when you see behavior that is off-center and hardness of heart? How will you, if you recognize that maybe you're hard in your heart, be willing to let Jesus come in and soften it? I think these things are really important. I think what we teach and what we do and what we proclaim as Christians is critical for the world right now. It doesn't have all the answers, but I think it can help us in our hardness of heart. So here's a challenge for you to think about this week. I want you to be inspired by the youth of our parish. I want you to model yourself after them for a while. There is someone in your life, in your place of business, in your work, in your neighborhood, that is a divorced woman in the story of the gospel today. It's someone who is cast out, who has been written off. See where that term comes from? Who has been pushed away, who has been excluded, who has been cast out. And ask yourself, is my heart so hard that I cannot see them or talk to them or invite them or be with them? And when we do that, the world is changed. So Jesus challenges the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who have hardness of heart. There are a lot of hard hearts in the world right now. But then Jesus says to us, there's a better way. So can we love our neighbor as ourselves? Can we respect their dignity? Can we resist evil? Can we see Christ in the other? Because when we do, the world sees God's kingdom. Whether it's on the soccer field, on the beach, in our relationships at home, in our friendships, in our place of work, and even on our tax forms. That's where Jesus wants us to be. So be a people of love. Amen.